There's a new place called EJ's opening soon in the West Bottoms, and everyone is really excited about it. But I'm a little bit hung up on the white barbecue sauce they plan to serve. What on earth is white barbecue sauce? I'm about to find out. I have some in front of me now, and I'm going to try it. But I'm kind of scared because I think it's got a lot of mayonnaise in it.
It's a mayo base, actually.
The chef behind this concoction is John Smith, and John, put my mind at ease before I taste this sauce.
Well, white barbecue sauce has actually been around a long time. It's actually called Alabama white barbecue sauce, and it started in by Bob Gibson. He has a restaurant called Bob Gibson Barbecue in Decatur, Georgia, and he just had this, he made this white concoction, white, like what you call concoction, a white sauce. The dip his chicken in and marinate his chicken, that because you know barbecue usually have the red sauce, so he left that for his pork and his beef, and then he did this for the chicken.
Okay, well, I'm Gina Kaufman, and today's food show on KCUR Central Standard begins with John Smith of EJ's Urban Eatery and his white barbecue sauce, which I am going to try now with a spoon. I mean, I've never eaten barbecue sauce just out of a spoon, period, so this will be a new one for me. Okay, hang on. It's tangy. It's so tangy.
Well, it has a little bit of you have vinegar into it, which is a part of barbecue sauce, and
it's good.
At the end of the day, and before, like I made it yesterday, and when I brought it in this morning, I tasted it again, and I thought it needed a little bit more acid, so I threw a little fresh lemon juice into it, and then add a little salt to it to bring it up today.
What are some of the other flavors I'm tasting other than lemon juice and
horseradish, actually.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You got the tangle horseradish. You have a little vinegar, cider vinegar, salt, pepper, lemon juice, and mayo.
So you were telling me just a moment ago about the guy who is credited at least with inventing white barbecue sauce?
Yes.
Tell me more about the roots of this sauce.
Well, like I said, it started in 1925. At Bob Gibson Barbecue in Decatur, Georgia. He just wanted something different for his when he grilled and did smoked his chickens. So, and that's what he did. It started off as a marinade, actually. Then he started using it as a base, and then people start ordering sides of the dip stuff in. I've actually seen people, order real barbecue and with the red sauce and dip this in, because apparently a thing now is people dipping ranch in the barbecue or blue cheese.
What?
Yeah, I've seen people do that. So people have been dipping this into that.
Ranch is for celery sticks.
I don't do it, but I'm just saying I've seen it.
So how did you find out about this sauce?
Well, I started actually learning more about Southern cooking over the years. My mom and dad are from the South. I'm actually born and raised in Chicago, and I've cooked overseas. I cooked in Chicago. I cooked in New York, and I've always been really high end or upscale casual places. So when I noticed more and more when I started doing stuff that I like to eat at home or stuff that my family did, and I started doing these at events and private dinners, people started gravitating more and more of it. So it made me want to learn more and more about the food of the South. So I started learning about stuff in Virginia and started learning about the Carolinas and started learning about, Alabama and what they do in Georgia, what they do in Mississippi, which my family's from, what they do in Tennessee, which is where I got family from too. So you just start thinking about, what all the food that's going on down there, and you just start learning more and more history about it and try to incorporate it into what I do.
When you were growing up with foods like in your family from Tennessee and Mississippi, can you compare what you experienced like at home with relatives to what you learned when you more formally learned about Southern food?
You know what? I learned that a lot of things, like when I was overseas in France, a lot of things we did that my grandmother and my aunts and all them did, they did in France, but they just had different ingredients. Like, they use the bladder, they use the chitlins, they use that. And you go to France, it's a whole different name, but that same technique is still there. So it's kind of funny that, like...
Can you give an example?
Like, using the whole pig. Like, back in those times, I'm in the history in that area, they didn't, blacks in that area didn't have a lot of money. So they had, land, they had the farm, or they got stuff, and they didn't get the best stuff. They got, the pork chop and the tenderloins and all that stuff went inside, and the guys outside had to, use the scrappings. And so they had to learn how to make that good and sustainable. when you go to France, you got stuff like head cheese. They call it sauce. You know, we have all that. You have all stuff like that, and it just kind of. I've seen my grandmother and my aunts cook this, and it just kind of reminded me when I went over there that it's the same thing.
With the white barbecue sauce, what do you think of it being like especially good on, especially as far as like Southern food goes?
Well, for us, we're doing it with we're actually taking a nod for Kansas City because Kansas City loves brisket and they love, you know, smoky meats and doing rubs. So we are doing an espresso rub brisket that we smoke in our smoker in the restaurant for 12 hours. And we're going to slice it thin and have that served with our barbecue sauce. And it's just like, I don't want to be, I'm not trying to be in a barbecue game. That's a whole nother world. I have a lot of respect for the guys of Joe's and Gates and, you know, anybody who does that. I just want to, like, that's my homage to Kansas City adopting me as one of their own.
So it's like a fusion of the Southern roots that you come from and what's popular here?
Yes.
But it is risky to mess around with barbecue sauce in Kansas City, where purists abound. And I have not heard any objections to the mentions of white barbecue sauce in the announcements for your restaurant. But, like, even though there's tons of debate about barbecue sauces in Kansas City, like who has the best, so far it's who has the best of all these red sauces.
Right.
Are you intimidated?
No. Like I said, I'm not trying to be a barbecue guy. I'm actually trying to. It's more for me giving appreciation to Kansas City for adopting me. Like, I've traveled a lot, and this is the place outside Chicago I've been at the longest. I have a house here. I got married here. This is home to me. I won't be going nowhere else, and I want to give a nod to, you know, Kansas City for accepting me and let me be one of them.
What do you want Kansas City to know about Southern food?
It's more than just fried stuff. Like, I ate a lot of vegetables as a kid. Like some meals would be like just collard greens, pinto beans, and cornbread. That was sometimes a meal with no meat. We might have a little bit of, like, you might have a little bit of ham hock or fat back into the greens, but that was a meal. Like, we ate a lot of, we picked a lot of stuff from the garden. My grandmother had a canning cellar where we had dilly beans and canned tomatoes and pickled green tomatoes and, you know, tomato jams and, like, juices and different type of pickles and stuff. So it's just more of that. Like, if, like, people have a perception of fried, fatty. And this, I want people to understand that, yes, we do have a lot of, they have a lot of things in the South that they take from the garden, they use and they cook it lightly. And it's all about freshness and seasonality, just like everything else, you know, that's important in the world right now.
Before we go, can you share one last fun factoid about white barbecue sauce?
I noticed it's making its way up. And, like, a lot of people are trying it out and doing it different. I've seen some places doing it, and it's cool. It's like it's not different. It's different, but it's, you know, not in a way. It's just another sauce that you can try to, you know, add to the collection of sauces in the market here.
John Smith, executive chef at EJ's Urban Eatery, coming soon to the West Bottoms. Thanks for stopping by.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And now another fun fact: Kansas City has the best cinnamon rolls. That is not my opinion. I've never particularly noticed Kansas City's cinnamon rolls. A food writer from New York made that observation, and she wrote about it in Condé Nast Traveler. Khushbu Shah, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Your assertion is bold.
I love a baked good, and you guys have some of the best in the country.
Some of the best? That is not what your headline says.
Well, some of the best of sort of everything. I also had a lot of great biscuits and sort of fancy Pop-Tarts in addition to all of these cinnamon rolls.
So what put Kansas City cinnamon rolls on your radar to begin with?
So I was actually on my way to Oklahoma to report a story, and I had 48 hours in Kansas City. And as a food writer, you always want to maximize the 48 hours you have in a place. And so I usually tend to go on an eating tear. So as I was doing all my research of where I wanted to eat and sort of, you know, the new places that have opened up or local favorites, I kept noticing on all of the menus that there were a lot of cinnamon rolls, which I was really surprised by, because Kansas City, for me, has always been a city that's been known for its barbecue.
Well, you know,
above all else.
It's funny you say that, because I'm surprised by that too, and I live here.
Yeah, that's a reaction I frequently got. I was bugging, my two seatmates on the plane were also Kansas City locals. They had great barbecue recommendations for me, but I was like, okay, but now where's your favorite cinnamon roll? They're like, wait, I've never really thought about that before. Same sort of went for any restaurant owners I talked to, people who are really into the food scene of Kansas City, really embedded in it. Even they were sort of surprised by this observation.
And are these people who actually make and serve cinnamon rolls? We're surprised that a lot of people do that.
Yeah, actually.
So, okay, you went on a cinnamon roll tour of Kansas City. Tell us about it.
It's more like a cinnamon roll bender. I feel very bad for my coworker that I dragged along with me. Basically, as soon as we hopped off the plane, well, before then, I will say I did a lot of meticulous research and mapped out a game plan in Google Maps, sort of based on the most efficient like drive-through of Kansas City that would tackle the most cinnamon rolls.
Oh my God, I love it.
So we got off the plane, and the first one we stopped off at was at Corner Bakery, or Corner Cafe, sorry, which does this really amazing, just gigantic cinnamon roll. And we made the mistake of getting one each. Both of us failed to make it more than a third of a way through, even though it was incredibly delicious and we were incredibly hungry.
And you are probably going to have to eat another cinnamon roll pretty soon after that.
Yeah, it was pretty much like a cinnamon roll every 3 or 4 hours. And mind you, we also stopped off and got barbecue and hit up some of the, new restaurants and some of the more legendary restaurants like Blue Stem, where you want to eat pretty much everything that's also on the menu there. So needless to say, we were extremely full at the end of
Yeah.
this
Okay, so the Corner Bakery or Corner Cafe was your first one. What is the second cinnamon roll you tried?
Then we went to this place called Donut King, which is a little bit surprising that even that's the thing I noticed, like every single place, literally not just a bakery, but also your donut shops had, cinnamon rolls, but also like high-end places had cinnamon rolls on the menu. So the one at Donut King was particularly inexpensive and extremely large. Like my coworker pretty much held it up to her face and it was the size of a human head. So
Size seems to be factoring in very prominently in your reviews so far.
yes, the Midwest. I'm from the Midwest and everything there tends to be a little bit larger than things on the East Coast, but that's a happy surprise when it comes to cinnamon rolls. The more is better in this case, for sure.
Did you have a favorite Kansas City cinnamon roll?
Ooh, that's tough. All of them were extremely, extremely good, but I really loved the ones at Rye. They make these giant, they're literally the size of a plate. They're super thick, kind of like nice and flaky and gooey. And they sort of sit them out on this table of baked goods in the restaurant when you walk in for brunch. So it's sitting next to like some really amazing looking pies and a stack of cinnamon rolls. But you really have to make sure that, like, as you're sitting down, you tell your server that you want one because they go so fast. We got maybe the second to last one, and we went there pretty early in the day.
So, just to be clear on what constitutes a good cinnamon roll in your mind, I have had, I'm not like frequently eating cinnamon rolls, but I have noticed that they can be very sickly sweet, and I'm not sure if that's part of how a cinnamon roll should be, or if that's the mark of a not so good cinnamon roll. I mean, it's surprising because cinnamon itself, like the spice that this thing is named for is not that sweet. It's a very nuanced spice. It's kind of earthy and it's got a little spice to it.
Yeah, definitely. I think with all things, balance is always key, right? Yes, cinnamon rolls tend to lean on the sweeter side because you can not only get sugar mixed in with the cinnamon, but then it's also the icing, which I think can frequently put it over the top. For me, my favorite cinnamon rolls tend to have a cream cheese icing, which tend to, it tends to be a little less sweet, sort of balances out a bit more. And The mark of a really good cinnamon roll for me, though, is that the center, like that perfect middle, is not underbaked, which is a problem that can happen frequently. And it's like doughy. It's like really nice on the outside, but once you get to that middle, the part that you really want to eat with the maximum cinnamon sugar concentration, it can be undercooked. But the one at Rye is perfect through and through.
Was there another cinnamon roll you wanted to recommend here in Kansas City before we go?
Yeah, the one at Heirloom Bakery is really gorgeous looking. And I want to recommend Heirloom not only for its cinnamon rolls, but pretty much everything they do there was really good. And the space was just so pretty. It's like just the best place to hang out, have a cup of coffee, catch up with friends, and, you know, indulge in some really good cinnamon rolls.
Any theories as to why Kansas City excels in the cinnamon roll?
My theory is the Midwest in particular, right? There's a lot of, you know, farming and wheat is quite, you know, prominent. And the Midwest does baked goods extremely well. And, you know, KC has a great food culture. So it only seems to make sense that, you know, there would be a ton of really good baked goods and especially cinnamon rolls throughout the city.
Khushbu Shah, thanks so much for bringing Kansas City's cinnamon roll prowess to our attention.
Thank you for having me.
When KCUR Central Standard returns, the food critics will join us on a search for the best sausages in town. And from this conversation, we will compile our official list of best sausages in Kansas City. So if you have a recommendation, call us up. Seriously, 816-235-2888. Welcome back to KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, and today is a Friday food show. Our theme from here on out is sausages. Italian sausage, bratwurst, chorizo, the whole deal. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the Kansas City sausage we need to try. 816-235-2888. Food critics, good morning.
Good morning.
Ooh. I'm here with Charles Ferruza of the Shawnee Mission Post and the Independent, Mary Block of Around the Block, and Jenny Vergara, who joins us from Feast Magazine. And critics, would you think it's accurate to say that sausage has been capturing chefs' imaginations in a new way in recent years?
You know, I think it's part of the butchery trend. I mean, you know, we have more and more chefs who are opening great butcher shops. And with this return to kind of artisan, you know, do-it-yourself butchery, sausage is a really incredible way to use up all the pieces and parts after you've kind of portioned out your steak or pork or whatever it is for dinner service and you have pieces left over. Sausage can be a really great way to reutilize those. So, absolutely.
When we were growing up, you basically had, you know, pork sausage, and now you've got all these different cultures that were using Spanish sausage and Mexican and doing lamb. And so I do think
I think what you're trying to say is that what sausage has needed for decades is some imagination. Yeah. And now they have it.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be, as far as I recall, you know, this lowly breakfast meat drenched in syrup from nearby pancakes.
Which is still pretty delicious. I mean, if you're in the mood for that, but yeah.
Well, while we wait for our sausage recommendations from callers, and we'll get to our critics' recommendations too, let's go to a class where enthusiasm for sausage goes beyond eating. People are wanting to learn to make sausage themselves. So we're headed to a meat shop and deli down by the railroad tracks in the East Bottoms. Outside on a gravel lot, people are lunching at picnic tables. And on the inside, amateurs and chefs line up for a crash course. Danielle Hogarty takes us there on a busy Sunday afternoon.
You might not expect much activity from the outside, but Sundays at the local pig are busy. There's a fairly long line at the deli counter. Country music spills from the speakers as orders are called out. Just behind the counter, in plain sight, there's a huge butcher's block. People in red aprons are standing around the block, flipping through recipe packets. They're all here for Jimmy Spradlin's sausage-making class. He's the head butcher, but he's not quite what you'd expect.
Really, the idea is to eat better quality meat less often. Probably die without PB&J sandwiches.
He's in his late 20s, tall and skinny, with a long, wispy goatee.
Guess how long I've been growing this?
8 years.
Eight? Some credit. Yes. Almost four.
We're
Class is about to start. There's a quiet older couple at one end of the block and two rowdy guys at the other end. One woman is taking photos from a healthy distance.
You know, there's a pretty good mix of people in the class. There's, you know, a young chef and then just some old rough and tumble redneck guy that's like, I'm just here for the pork chops. But it's kind of funny to watch that crossover.
Jimmy has set out plastic containers of fresh herbs and spices for seasoning the sausages. Rosemary, sage, fresh garlic, you know, your basic household ingredients. He wants people to know how easy it is to do this at home.
A lot of people are kind of daunted about getting into things like this, working with meat especially. It always seems like there's a lot of stigma around it. People are kind of afraid to just jump right in.
But not today. Jimmy starts grinding raw meat. He's pulling handfuls from a large tub filled with PFG, pork for grind. It's basically all of the cuts that you wouldn't buy if you saw them in a display case at the grocery store. And that's the point at the local pig. They want to use the whole animal, nose to tail.
I mean, if local pig has a heart and soul, it's sausage. It really is. Mostly the demand for the sausage class just came from people wanting to be able to work with meat in their kitchen. And sausage really is the best entry level, you know, way to start doing that.
The group splits off into four stations: beer brats, roasted garlic and rosemary, ginger and sage breakfast, and chorizo rojo. With the exception of a few ingredients, the recipes are as simple as the names.
Whatever mix that they have, they'll combine with X amount of ground pork, and then we'll stuff those in order of flavor profile.
Jimmy blends each group's spices with water. Then each group mixes the blend into their ground meat.
After that, we're gonna stuff it and link it, and then you guys are gonna be going home with about a pound of each of the sausages that we're gonna be making here today.
The process took about 2 hours. Jimmy enjoys sharing his craft, and that's probably why he does a class every weekend.
You know, it's hard to find a butcher that's willing to share his secrets with you. Every butcher thinks everything they do is a secret. Really, it's not. Human beings have been doing this for thousands of years.
Jimmy's been in the industry for 6 years, but he's never had any sort of formal training. In fact, he used to be a helicopter mechanic in the Navy with absolutely no connection to the meat industry. Since there weren't any airports near his small hometown in Missouri, he started working at a slaughterhouse, and he hasn't looked back since. When I went back to meet up with Jimmy, he was dissecting a whole hog on that very same butcher's block where he was teaching the sausage-making class. He told me that he could break down half a hog in his sleep, but just 6 years ago, he didn't know how to do any of that.
Getting people to understand how simple something is that they thought was so complicated, it kind of warms my little butcher's heart. It really does.
Danielle Hogarty stopped by a sausage-making class at the local pig. She's one of our interns. Thanks, Danielle, for that sausage-making reconnaissance. We will get right to our critics' recommendations, but I'd like to take a call first from Rosemary in Kansas City, who called 816-235-2888 to tell us about a sausage she enjoys. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi.
What can you share?
I wanted to recommend a deli in the City Market area. The name is Carolla's, C-A-R-O-L-L-O apostrophe S.
What do you like about their sausage?
They make their sausage with Romano cheese, and it is in the flavoring, and it is outstanding. They do have hot, medium, and mild, but I do particularly like the one with the Romano cheese also.
Mm-hmm. So that's...
And,
thanks, Rosemary.
They do serve you there, or you can take it home. They have a dining area.
Cool. Well, yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's Rosemary in Kansas City recommending Carollo's Deli in the City Market. And for Italian sausage, I mean, what are some of the flavors that often come out in Italian sausage?
Fennel.
Yeah.
Fennel is the main one.
Yeah.
And then spice, kind of red pepper flake. Yeah. You get a lot of that, too.
A lot of people don't like fennel. I've always loved it. It's you know, it's a dominating flavor. But
I think it's one of the things that sets Italian sausage apart from everything else is that, so...
There's a couple of our critics actually are recommending Marco Polo for their Italian sausage, Charles and Mary.
Yeah, it's great.
It's an iconic dish, and Jasper has a grill outside, and they grill up the sausages and put it on a roll with peppers and onions, and you can dress it yourself. It's pretty good.
It doesn't need anything more, really, than peppers and onions.
He's been doing that outdoor grill since he was in Waldo. I mean, from the original location.
Oh, yeah,
so that's
yeah.
how long that
at least,
this has
at
lived.
At least 30 years, I'm going
to
say. Yeah.
It's such an incredible, fun, historic thing to go, you know, foodie thing to go do.
To go get outdoor Italian sausage from Marco Polo's.
Smells great. You can smell it from the parking lot, man. That's how you know he's cooking.
And then, Charles, there's kind of a Kansas City classic. We've been talking about that there's sort of like a renewed interest in sausage, more experimentation with sausage, more house-made sausage. But Werner's has been there forever.
Werner's.
I'm never sure whether to say W or V.
I've always called it Werner's. I mean, I don't know.
I think you're correct okay. in your pronunciation.
And that's a wonderful place. And I mean, that's the kind of sauce, you know, the German sausages are what I grew up eating because I'm assuming that someone's going to call in and correct me. But my father was from upstate New York, and that the sausage we knew there as White Hots, mm-hmm. weren't they also bratwurst? Or are they completely different? I could be wrong.
I think it's a little bit of a different beast.
They
also serve those at Boulevard Tavern.
White Hots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I love bratwurst mm-hmm. and had some wonderful bratwurst last night. But
Can you define bratwurst? I mean, I know that's a kind of a weird question, but all these sausage terms get kind of thrown around. And
well, bratwurst is the name of the preparation for the sausage. I don't. Is it a veal sausage?
I have no clue.
You know everything.
But, you know, sausage, I like sausage in things, but typically, except for Jasper's, I don't just eat a
sausage sandwich.
Mm. Yeah.
But so, okay, Charles, tell us about Werner's for people who have not been there.
Well, it's, you know, it's a long time traditional sausage meat shop, I guess I should say. It's a butcher mm-hmm. shop in Mission, Kansas I know it's on Saturdays anyway. They may have more expanded days than I know, but on Saturdays you can go and stand in line and get a freshly grilled sausage sandwich, and delicious, really delicious. Really not good for you probably in terms of sodium, but you know, once or twice a year, why not?
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a local tradition.
Absolutely.
And as far as newer, like, meat shop kinds of places, like the place where you go grab a bite, sit at the counter and go. Jenny, tell us about Leeway Franks.
Leeway Franks is in Lawrence, and Lee Meisel worked for years as kind of the primary butcher at 715, the restaurant in Lawrence. And he and his wife Kay have opened up this place in kind of a little strip center, and he basically is breaking down whole animal and making sausages and various other meat products there at the shop. But he's mostly a restaurant. He's not really a butcher shop where you can kind of come and buy things. So he has just a plain old chili dog. And being from Oklahoma, I have to tell you, we love our chili dogs there. So I'm no different. He has one of the best ones. It's on a poppy seed roll. It's an all beef frank he makes himself. It has Texas red chili, which is just, I can't even describe the texture of it, but it's really smooth, a little bit of texture to the meat. It's just got simple yellow mustard, chopped onions. It's delicious. And he has different specials every day. He's got a traditional menu that he serves as well, but I believe the chili dog is mostly always on it. So
let's talk to Jeremiah in Kansas City. Hi, Jeremiah.
Hi.
What are you recommending?
Well, Broadway Butcher. They right there at 39th Street and Broadway. They have really good sausages. They kind of put their own spin on classic sausages, but and they have a great Italian sausage. But they also have smoked bratwurst that is just top of the line. So
the smoked bratwurst is one of your favorites?
Yeah, absolutely.
They have a great array of sausages at Broadway Butcher Shop. You can even get beet sausage. B-E-E-T. And they're purple, and they're really good.
And they serve them at Kolkstrom Club, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's where she gets her beet sausage for her delicious dish there with a Scandinavian twist. So, but if we're talking Kolkstrom Club, everybody has to get in there and get her Copenhagen Street Dog. a 9-inch pickled pulse hot dog that literally hangs out of the bun. It's so long. It's got, onions and cucumber salad, like a cold salad on top. It's got a curry, ketchup on it, a little mayo, some fried leeks. It is phenomenal. And she started serving it as a bar snack that you could only get at the bar, but she's now open for lunch. So it's on her lunch menu as well. And it is my favorite hot dog right now in the city. It's incredible.
So Jenny, you're recommending a couple of sausages, both the beet sausage and the Copenhagen street dog at Krokstrøm Club. Can you talk to me a little bit about the Scandinavian spin on sausage?
Well, so a pulse is the name of the sauce, this particular sausage in the Copenhagen dog. And, you know, Katie worked with Broadway Butcher Shop to get her beet sausage, but she worked with Fritz Smoked Meats here in Kansas City to do her pulse. And she wanted it big. I mean, traditionally, if you go to Scandinavia, the sausages are long, flopping out of the bun, and they're pickled. It's not served cold, though. I mean, she puts it on a griddle and she heats it up to actually serve it to you. But it does have this little kind of pickled flavor to it that really speaks Scandinavian to me. And it's kind of got a bright red color to it. So
pickled rather than smoked.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting. Right. Cured.
You know, Grenauer is on Charles's list. So we're moving kind of across Europe here, across continental Europe.
You know, sausages are one of the signature dishes. And I want to say also that you think of sausages kind of as a heavier dish. And I really didn't want anything too heavy because last night was so hot. But I'll tell you, you walk in those doors and that place is so soothingly cool inside that I didn't feel a bit guilty or perturbed about eating anything as heavy as sausage. But they
have Grenauer, it's an Austrian restaurant.
And
in the Crossroads.
In the Crossroads. They do not make their own sausages there. That's one of the, I think, the sort of the myths of that restaurant's specific cuisine. But they have a trio. I think, 6 or 7 featured sausages, including a seasonal one. And the seasonal one right now, currently, is a made by the Broadway Butcher Shop. And it's a Thai pork sausage.
I'd love that.
Oh, Jenny, it was delicious.
I would love that.
And the sausages I had.
So what makes it a Thai sausage?
I would think it's a pork sausage with Thai spices. And, you know, so it's not especially spicy, you know, as in heat, but a nice, nice comforting. There was a cinnamon note and a saffron note. And so it was a nice sausage that Broadway Butcher Shop had come up for them. And then they've got their currywurst sausage that has a touch of curry. And I had their bratwurst. The sausages are served with sauerkraut. And I'll tell you, you were talking, Jenny, about cucumber salad.
Mm-hmm.
I get their cucumber salad when I order sausages there.
I love that.
Oh, it's a lovely, smooth, soothing.
It's cool a summer thing.
It's a
like,
great
I
summer
want it
thing.
In the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it was a lovely, cool evening, and that's a very relaxing restaurant.
So Grenauer in the Crossroads for sausages. Mm-hmm. And Mary, as long as we're talking about Thai sausage, you have a recommendation for sausage in a dish.
Yes, it's at a Thai restaurant on 39th Street, and it's an Isan sausage. It's a Chinese-style dry pork sausage with just a ton of flavor, and they serve that with pickled cabbage, kind of the same thought process to the cucumber salad, and it's really an interesting, different kind of dish.
Mary, you've got a lot of recommendations for sausages that are in dishes that you like, and I'm intrigued by a rigatoni with spicy lamb sausage.
That is at Tavernona in the Hotel Phillips. It's a relatively new restaurant. The owner's from Chicago. And it's a baked dish. So picture a big
casserole?
Yes, but a single serving casserole with all this mixed up. You've got the rigatoni, you've got the lamb sausage, you've got a tomato sauce.
Cheese?
Pecorino, and then it's got some arugula pesto. And it's a hearty dish. I probably wouldn't have it on a day like today, but in the winter, it couldn't be better. Just full of different flavors.
Tavernona is what Mary is recommending. She's recommending the rigatoni with spicy lamb sausage. Call in with your recommendation at 816-235-2888. We'll be getting to those calls right away on KCUR Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard, and I'm here with the food critics, Jenny Vergara, Mary Block, and Charles Fruza. Hi again.
Hello. Hey.
Let's go to our callers. We have got a full switchboard, lots of people wanting to recommend some sausages. So let's turn to Cheryl. She's with us from Olathe. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, good morning. There is a great sausage roll at McGonigal's Meat Market at 79th and Ward Parkway. Their meats are all awesome. But this sausage roll that they make, it's like 2-inch diameter. It is like 2 pounds of meat. You can feed the whole family on it, and they smoke it right there.
What do you, can, are you able to describe the taste of this sausage?
Very flavorful. I know there's fennel in there. I noticed that, but I do not know the rest of it. And it is good hot or cold. You can get it on Friday, take it home, refrigerate it, and serve it over the weekend. It also comes with a sweet sauce or a spicy sauce. And the sweet sauce isn't real sweet because it's also spicy. And it's really fun to mix those two sauces together when you get it. But it is huge, and it's on special, actually, on Fridays.
Well, cool. It's thanks, Cheryl.
Like $8.99 on Friday versus $9.99 the rest of the time. And they have them in the meat case all the time. But it is wonderful, hot or cold, at McGonigal's.
Thank you. Anyone else want to say anything about McGonigal's and the sausage there?
Well, it's just a great, fabulous, iconic place in Kansas City. And I like to get sausage at McGonigal's. I like it already cooked, so I can eat it right there.
Yeah, I think the most brilliant thing he did was add that little outdoor, you know, walk up, get, and his prices are so good there. Yeah. I mean, really, if you've got a family, if you've got kids, that's a great place to go.
Let's talk to Kurt in Brookside.
Yeah,
hi, Kurt.
Kurt.
Are you? Kurt, yeah. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
Morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I tuned in a little bit late, but I don't think anybody has really talked even about Polish sausage that much, and especially a little place that's tucked in an old residential neighborhood a couple blocks south of Truman called Peter May's House of Kielbasa. Any of you guys familiar with it?
We've talked about it on the show before. Mm-hmm.
What do you like about it, Kurt?
I like the fact that not only is it really, I mean, it's authentic. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, so I grew up on Polish sausage. But it's not only, it reminds me of the stuff that they used to make in the old neighborhood, but you can eat it hot, you can eat it cold, and it goes incredibly well on a charcuterie plate when you're doing beer tastings.
Well, thanks, Kurt. That's great information to have.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
You too. So Kurt was recommending Peter May's House of Kielbasa.
I haven't been yet, but it's totally on my list. Like, it's at the top. In fact, we were just talking about it earlier, and I think Peter May's is amazing. I mean, it's been around a long time, a lot of history.
What about Kritzmann's in KCK?
That's another great place.
Yeah, I would think they would have excellent Polish sausage.
A lot of the chefs like that place because they've got blood sausage and some of the more unique specialty sausages there. So absolutely, that's a great place.
Let's hear from Nick in Brookside. Hi, Nick.
Afternoon. Well, good morning.
What can you share?
I would like to recommend Fritz is over on State Line. You guys have mentioned him a couple times, but they do a traditional South African farmer sausage that is pretty good for being 10,000 miles away from South Africa.
So, tell us about South African sausage.
So what they do is a traditional South African farmer sausage, and it's all different varieties, but the standard recipe is like salt, pepper, and it's got a heavy coriander flavor to it, and you cook it similar to a bratwurst on the grill. I like it for breakfast with my eggs in the morning.
Nick, I'm noticing your accent, and I hope it's all right for me to ask, are you South African?
I am South African.
So tell me about, like, is this pretty similar to the sausage you grew up with?
Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of different varieties, but they do a really good job at the standard, I would call it, you know, the middle of the road, variations. So they do a good job, and I would say if anyone's interested, it would be a good place to check out.
So Nick is recommending Fritz's for a South African sausage. Anyone else have a Fritz's recommendation?
Oh, I think Fritz is another one that's just solid, absolutely solid. Not only to purchase your sausages from, but they also have a grill outside, so they sell direct.
And they smoke your turkey at Thanksgiving.
And they do that as well.
Nice.
And they do that as well.
Let's talk to Joe in Olathe. Hi, Joe.
Hello. Or guten Morgen. You were asking earlier about Werner's or Werner's. So
yes. I'm sorry about my pronunciation.
No. As you say, you're looking for the best sausage. Well, versus German for sausage. You're looking for the best worst?
Yes.
The best of the worst.
Yes, the best of the worst. W's are pronounced like V's in German. F's like are D's like F. So I throw some people. But Grunauer's has some excellent sausage, and they also do a Schlachtplatte where you get a side, some bread, like they have some rye bread, and you pick up one of their sausages, which is a good accompaniment. So you get them all around together. So that's one place. Also, local pig is great. And you're asking earlier about whether bratwurst has to be veal or not. You can have different types. Brat is just a cooking term. Wurst means sausage. And if you wanted a veal sausage, it would be a Kalbbratwurst, K-A-L-B. So cool. I've had those over in Switzerland. And those are generally really tasty. But, yeah, you could probably also have a pork bratwurst or other meats as well.
Well, thanks, Joe. Joe is a wealth of information about the pan-Germanic sausage. Okay, so we also have some recommendations from our critics for a fair, which we have not talked about yet.
Well, Chef Martin User does make his own sausages, and his selection is maybe a little more limited than Grunauer, but boy, his house-made sausages are so delicious, and he always has nice things to serve with them. He's a great chef, and that's a great place.
Yeah, lots of interesting aiolis and mustards and like little pickles that come on the side. I always get the sausage trio just for a chance to taste it. And different textures, too. Smooth, a little bit more rough textures, so delicious. And again, made all in-house, so you can't beat that.
That's another soothing, cool place to go on a hot summer night.
So, Mary, as the person who is focused on sausage and its uses in other entrees on local menus, I want you to take us to a blast from the past with a soup that they had at the Prospect, which was a really popular restaurant in Westport. It's no longer there, but you actually make your own version of this soup. So maybe there are other people who miss it who could benefit from your instruction.
It's the Italian sausage soup from the Prospect, and anybody who has been in Kansas City for 30 years or so will remember it. It's a fabulous, hearty, wintry pasta dish, and it's a tomato base, and it's got Italian sausage. I usually do half mild and half spicy, and then you add pasta shells to it, and it's a meal. I mean, if you make it really thick, you need a fork almost, but I do it so that it's spoon worthy.
You serve it with bread.
And serve it with bread, and it's just got so many great flavors in it, and I would miss it if I didn't make it myself.
And Mary, you've got a couple of other recommendations for Italian Italian sausage being incorporated into Kansas City dishes.
Yes, one would be the sausage pizza at Pizza Bella. I love all their pizzas, and they do a really nice sausage pizza. And then also at Il Centro, they have a sausage and pepper pasta, red peppers and sausage in a light sauce. When I do it, I do orchetta pasta. I can't remember what this is, but it's a shell, and it's a great use of sausage.
So we also are getting a recommendation via Twitter for sausages that you can get at stands at Kansas City festivals. And I'm sorry that this is, again, something I'm not sure how to pronounce. Skimkas?
Sicama. I know what you're talking about. Italian.
Semecas?
Schmeckas. Right. Schmeckas is an Italian family. Yeah.
Like, is this a type of sausage? This is a game, you know.
Columbus Park area.
Yeah.
There used to be a Schmeckas market on Independence Avenue. And I understand the family still makes sausage. They don't have the market anymore.
You can get it at Cosentino's, yes. I know, at Brookside Market in Brookside.
And it's a fine sausage, I'll tell you. Fine Italian sausage.
Well, our listener who is communicating with us via Twitter is telling us that we need to wash it down with a fresh squeezed limeade.
Okay.
If you say so.
That sounds like she went to the Italian festival.
I know.
In, mm-hmm. up north, but I have a good recommendation actually up north by the airport.
Yeah,
it's a new place called Scott's Kitchen and Catering. And it's right on the way to the airport. I mean, if you're looking for a place to stop in, this is such a great, great find. It's right off of exit 13 on Ambassador Drive. And basically what he's doing there is he's doing traditional barbecue and Mexican. So he's got kind of a nice breadth. But he has one of the best spicy sausages in Kansas City right now. I'm so excited about it. I just tried it yesterday. It's the Chipotle Ghost Pepper Jack sausage. And before everybody freaks out because the word ghost is in there, which is associated with the ghost pepper, which is one of our hotter peppers, it's actually a ghost pepper jack cheese that's in the sausage. So that tempers the heat quite a bit, but it is a smack of heat up front and it's fabulous texture. And he smokes it in his giant Southern Pride smoker in the back. And you can have it in tacos, you can have it in burritos, you can have it in bowls, you can have it on a sandwich.
Now, is this a place where you can actually go in, sit down, and eat?
He's got a darling dining room. It's probably about 40 seats inside and then a little kind of area outside as well that you can sit at. And I'm telling you, for people who live or work up in that area, this is a real find. You need to go find him. He's only been open 2 weeks, but his food is solid. And he makes his own chorizo. He's got a breakfast sausage that's in his, actually, I think both the Ghost, Chipotle Ghost Pepper Jack and the breakfast sausage are in his biscuits and gravy.
You should say also, Jenny, just going by your notes here, very early hours.
So 7 to 3.
Yeah.
We are talking about Scott's Kitchen and Catering at Hangar 29. And we are going to turn now to Chuck in Brookside. Hi, Chuck.
Hi.
You have some advice for us?
Well, as Broadway Butcher will tell you about cooking your sausage, and it's important to know whether you have a thick skin or a thin, and whether you can cook your sausage over direct grill heat or it needs to be indirect.
So this is an important distinction for people cooking with sausage.
Yes, you don't want your sausage to split and open up and lose all of its flavor. And it also depends if you're cooking kielbasa, whether you start with water, whether you poke the sausage, if you don't want too much fat in your sausage. There are different views about that process.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, thank you. If we're making our own sausage at home, we can take Chuck's advice and know whether we are cooking a thin or thick-skinned sausage. However, if we are going out for our sausage, Jenny, give us another recommendation. You're recommending something at the Rieger.
Yeah, I just had this sausage last night. It's probably one of my favorite entrees. It's Howard Hanna at the Rieger, obviously, and he is got his new summer menu out. And one of the items is a nettle-wrapped merguez sausage, which is a lamb sausage. It's got North African spice in it. It is served with a tzatziki, like a little beet tzatziki on top, so really cooling, creamy sauce on top. Not very much of it, just a little dollop. And then it's sitting on top of chickpeas and kale, and it's served with a nice big piece of kind of pita bread that's obviously made in-house, and it's perfect.
Well, we have time for one last question, a question from Julia in Midtown. Hi, Julia.
Hello. I wanted to talk about my favorite, which is bockwurst, which when I was young you could only get in the springtime. I think McGonagall's carries it all year round now, but I was wondering if there was anybody else in town that carries bockwurst.
Bockwurst? Anyone?
Local pig or Broadway butcher shop, if anybody has it, they will.
All right. So Julia, on her search for a veal sausage called bockwurst, got the answer. Local pig?
Or a Broadway butcher shop.
Well, our time is up. Jenny Vergara, Charles Ferruza, and Mary Block are the food critics. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our list of the best sausages in Kansas City will be on our website later today. That might be useful over the weekend, so check it out. KCUR.org/Central Standard. While you're there, give a listen to some of the shows you might have missed earlier in the week. We've got a lot of podcast recommendations from KCUR's in-house audio nerds and a fun conversation with a couple of guys who play cowboy music in full costume. We'll be taking next week off, but we'll be right back in the swing of things come August. Stay in touch with us on Twitter. We're at KCURCST. This show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton, Sylvia Maria Gross, Jen Chen, Andrea Tudhope, and Suzanne Hogan. Danielle Hogarty is our intern. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend.